Okay. So Bracken, would you pray for this second session? It'll be just as anointing without my hat on.
Well, Father, you have numbered the hairs on our head.
That didn't take much for me. I'm sorry about that. That's not a very big a challenge. Okay. Right.
And you know our innermost thoughts.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray that this part of our journey you will download into our bishop your heart, and that what comes out of his mouth will be not what he thinks, but what you think. What you want your flock to hear. We give this time to you, and we ask you to bless it through Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Maybe there's some of you who are like thinking, I just don't know what my purpose in life is, so I'm about to tell you. Okay? This is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Really familiar scripture, verse 28. One of those refrigerator verses. You know, you have on a magnet, you put on a refrigerator. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now he explains his purpose. And the word his is not there. It says those who are called according to purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So predestiny means that there's a destiny that's been decided beforehand. And that destiny for you, and it's the only destiny that you will have where you have any sense of real purpose. This is your purpose. I'm about to share with you your purpose that God predetermined. This is the only way humanity works. The only way your human life will work is if you're going after this purpose, destiny. And that is Christ-likeness. Now, I don't mean by that imitation of Christ. I'm talking about the participation of Christ who lives in you in the manifestation of his life. And the more you do that, the more Christ-like you become from the inside out, the more you're transformed from glory to glory. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as mirrors, that's not in a mirror, is beholding as a mirror. We all, beholding as mirrors the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of his glory. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit, it's supernatural. Now, what's the glory? It's the manifest presence and nature of God. We all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord. In chapter 4, verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Christ's presence, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ's presence in you. He in you wants to share with you for you to participate in his presence and nature. See, most people live the Christian life trying to live their best for him. He would rather you experience his best from you. To live from Christ is exhilarating. To live for Christ is exhausting. And he set it up where the only way you can live for him is to live from him. And God's purpose, your assignment in life may be different. There are all kinds of people with different assignments, but his purpose is the same. No matter who you are, no matter what your personality type is, his purpose for you, his predestiny for you is Christlikeness. And if any other purpose, any other destiny is a priority besides that one, then you're fodder for the enemy. Paul said, again, for me to live is Christ. This is, I think, one of the most significant verses I'm about to quote in all the Bible. It speaks about your identity, the truth about you. And only in walking that out will you experience the freedom and the truth about you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. For you have died. The person that you used to be, the independent self, the condemned self, you've died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So if your life is hidden with Christ, the only way to find who you are, if you're in the searching trying to find who you are, you're only going to find that in Christ. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God now in Christ, who is your life. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, live through us, then you're revealed with him in glory. He wants you to share in his glory. I don't mean giving him glory. I'm talking about experiencing his glory. You were created for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, verse 6 and 7. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age, which is passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Understand me. Jesus came, this is going to sound heretical, Jesus came for your glory. Does he get glory because of what he did, because what's revealed about him? Yes, of course. But he came to save you. The word Jesus means God saves. He came to save you, not just from sin's penalty. He had to get that out of the way so he could save you from what you've become, to save you from your fallen, false self, to save you from your darkness from the inside out, to save you from your deception and delusion. Christ, who is your life. That's the thing I want you to get. Because we're going to have a lot of conversation around hanging out, visit with each other. And you're going to ask me questions. You're going to ask me questions. And I'm going to sound like this robot. I'm going to say, you're trying to handle that as if you're standing outside of Christ. You're trying to work through that. Jesus didn't create you to work through anything. He didn't create you to be good. He didn't create you to be happy. He didn't create you to be holy. He created you to participate in his goodness, his happiness, his holiness. See, you were created for that. You'll find no happiness apart from that reality. Your purpose, your predestiny is Christ-likeness. That's Christ-likeness, not all the things I don't get to do. It's all that you get to experience that he is and he loves to do. It's this supernatural, remarkable life. There's such... There's so many scriptures I want to read you. Second Peter. Chapter 2. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Has granted to us everything in Christ. See, it's all in him. You've been placed in him. This is what it means to be saved. You were placed into the person of Christ. So that you now find your identity and your new selfhood, your new personhood in him, living from him. And so he didn't do grumpy, grouchy. He didn't do complaining, critical. He didn't do backbiting, bitterness. He didn't get into quarrels. There's a scripture that says in Matthew, he doesn't quarrel. No longer living for yourself. There's such liberation in that. So I want to be as transparent with you, give you stories and deals. Like next week, I leave to go to Madrid. And there are people in here who aren't in the CC, because this isn't a CC event. This is an Asenroar's event. But next week, they're going to choose who's going to be the patriarch. We're going to choose to be the patriarch. So anybody could be. Anybody who's there could, it could happen to anybody. It could happen to anybody. And happen to, maybe the operative word. So one day the Lord asked me, I was actually worshiping here. And I'll be glad, I think everybody's going to be glad to get that behind everybody so everybody knows where they fit and what things they do, assignments they have. So the Lord asked me this really weird question. He said, would you rather be the patriarch of the CC or be Jesus, authentically, no filters, Christ to one person in front of you? And it was so easy. I said, I would want to be Christ to that one person, because there's such liberty and freedom in that, to experience Christ-likeness. And that, you hear what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to tell you, if you're trying to get purpose and meaning in some assignment, in some position or some relationship or whatever, then you're missing it. And the enemy's going to keep beating you up. Jesus doesn't do depression. He doesn't do self-pity. He doesn't do anxiety. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. That is bizarre. That is radically crazy. But he said it because he believed it. He said, I've learned, because we're growing, right? We're learning. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. That's nuts. Are you content in your circumstance? See, and somebody said, no, even if you're not, then you're standing outside of Christ trying to work this out on your own instead of joining him, instead of living from him. Because here's what Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. And then he makes the statement. Here's the reason. Because I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me from the inside out. You know, like, I talk to people all the time who, you know, different age groups, one of the things I love about Africa, going to Africa, and I've been there a bunch of times, Father Tuck just got back, been there about 30 times, is that there's nobody in Africa, there's no 18-year-old depressed because they don't have a date for the prom. There weren't enough food for next week. Like the average, used to be, I don't know if it's still true, Tuck, Tuck looks up everything, but the average age of death for men not that many years ago was 39 years old in Uganda. But see, we have things played out in front of us all the time. that, oh, I got to have this, or I got to have this person, or I got to have this situation, and then I'll really be happy. Really? You got to have that to be happy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I don't mean that joy in the Lord. There's rejoicing in the Lord. But the very joy of Jesus is my strength. So the whole thing about, well, you got to have this, you got to be married, you got to not be single, whatever. I've been single twice now, and I was married. Christ was my life the first time I was single. Christ was my life when I was married. Christ is my life now that I'm single again. Christ was Livia's life. Christ who is your life. That doesn't mean Christ who's your best buddy, the Christ who's the most important person to you. He's the very source from within that makes living work. That's the very source that makes your life function in a healthy, whole way. Can you imagine what it would be like tomorrow for Jesus just to zip himself up in your humanity and just for one day, through your unique personality, without you having to make any choices, just live his life through you? What kind of day do you think it would be? Life and life more abundant. That's the normal Christian life. That's the proposition for every day. Why did God come to earth? John 3:16 says this. Very familiar, right? The football verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever continually believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, there's a couple of words here that are important. One, the word perish just means spoil or ruin. God sent his only begotten Son. God gave his only begotten Son so that we would stop ruining our lives. We would stop living in the self-destruction thing that we do. And then he says this, that you no longer perish. That's not about going to hell. That's about living in hell on the way. But I know Christians who live like they're ruining their life. They're just living self-destructive lives because they're living for themselves. See, if you live from him, everything you've ever imagined in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And the word eternal life, is this the word aeon? It's not about, first and foremost, about duration. See, the moment you got saved, you received eternal life, but 1 John says eternal life is a person. It's the age to come kind of life that Jesus lives, live now by him through us. Let me say it again. All right, I'll show it to you in Scripture. How about that? That's my favorite language. This is 1 John chapter 5. No, sorry. A few chapters earlier, like all the way at the beginning. 1 John chapter 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen, so something very physical, what we have beheld and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen, bear witness, and proclaimed to you the eternal life. Not the message, a person. The eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. And we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you also that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Here's the coolest thing in the world. It's not just that I get to experience Christ living his life through me. You see, because the gospel is, I've been woven in the fabric of his existence, but he's been woven in the fabric of my existence. The gospel is I've been placed into his life so that he can live out, and I've been placed into his story so that he can live out his life and his story through my life and my life story on earth. So let me just say it again. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. There's mutual indwelling. So on this ring, it's a story about this. Maybe I'll tell you a story tomorrow. This particular ring, which is taped. And there's too much tape now. On the side is the picture of perichoresis, the mutual indwelling of Father, Son, and Spirit. And so Jesus said, y'all hanging in? Do okay? John 14, verse 20, and in that day, talking about Pentecost, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. That's an amazing thing. And so I've been placed into his life and his story so he can live out his life and his story through my life and my life story on earth. And I can live out my life and my story through his life and his life story in heaven. Because not only is he living his life through me here on earth, I'm now seated in heavenly places in him, participating in the fellowship he has with the Father and Holy Spirit. And I can live conscious of that. No matter what's going on, no matter what conversation I'm having, no matter if I'm on the phone or I'm typing or texting or dealing with stuff, making decisions, I'm conscious. I become more and more conscious that I'm living in that amazing embrace of the Father, the dance of the Trinity. I'm part of that. Jesus shares with me his relationship with the Father as my relationship because I'm in him. To live in that consciousness and also to experience his life being lived out through me on earth, my life being lived out through him in heaven, and to have consciousness of both of those things. What do I need? My only need is to know more because he wants to tell me everything. Christ-likeness is my destiny. It's my purpose. There is no greater purpose. Christ is my life. Not just for me to live as Christ, but Christ is my life. He's my life. My identity is in him. Paul referred to himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I know a man in Christ, talking about himself. That's how he identified himself. That was his consciousness. That was his self-consciousness. He was a man in Christ. That's who you are as a Christian. This is one of my new favorite scriptures. 1 John. So the same writer from John 3:16. Oh, I never finished 1 John 1. Sorry about that. I distracted myself. Sorry. So the eternal life, Jesus. So in John chapter 4, on chapter 5, verse 11. And the witness is this, that God has given us, past tense, given us, plural, all of us, eternal life. And that life's a person. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. The age to come life in his Son. And he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. So the age to come kind of life that Jesus carries, you now get to participate in on earth and in heaven. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. That's what, not to us, but in us. So what's happened in me that's manifested love? What is this great thing? The love of God has been manifested in me. By this, the love of God has been manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son. Isn't that what he said in John 3:16? That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Whew. That's kind of like John 3:16. God so loved the world. By this love of God is manifested in me. God's great love for me is not just something that happens outside of me, but it happens in me. He's brought me into union with Christ. For the love of God is manifested in me that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Not for him. Only when you're living through him are you living for him. To live every day. See, Christ lives his life through me. I'm living my life through him. You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing. It's mutual indwelling. He's living his life through me. And so when I face this situation, that circumstance, and I deal with every situation and circumstance conscious of he's alive in me. Lord, how do you see this thing? Well, Jack, I've got peace about this. Then I sink into, I repent from being anxious. Because that means I'm trying to handle it on my own, but he's my life, and he invites me to join him. Because he says, in me you'll have peace. In this world you have tribulation, but and so in that moment, I'm now living through him. I'm facing the situation through him. Not for him. I'm not trying to be brave for him. I'm not trying to be peaceful for him. You know, Jesus didn't come out and say, now here's what peace looks like. This is what joy looks like. Now go be joyful. Go be peaceful. Go be love. He said, no. Join me. I want to share all that I am with who you are. And my light shine out of your darkness. In your weakness, my strength made perfect. And you get to live through me. Whew. I mean, you think about, we have a lot of people here from California. So if Shohei Ohtani, you wanted to play baseball, but you're not very good at it, so somehow you became one with Shohei Ohtani, though it looks like you, and you get to go bat through him, that's going to make you a better baseball player. Because now you have his ability. Not that we're adequate in ourselves. Not that we're adequate in ourselves to think anything is coming from ourselves. But our adequacy is from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5. I can do all things in Christ, through Christ, who strengthens me. So what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be a new creature? You know, it says that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any person's in Christ, they're a new creation. But the word really is you're a new creature. A new kind of creature. You've actually been born again. You're a whole new self. And that self, that new self is one with Jesus and it gets to live through him. What does it mean for Christ to be your life? What does it mean to be born again? I watched a short video from my dean, Father Craig, the other day, and I was going to share this verse, but he shared it, and I was so excited that he did. This is, and we'll look at this more tomorrow, Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his masterpiece. The word there is actually poem, for you're God's poem. What kind of poem does God write? Pretty good one, I would think. The stanzas are all perfect. For you're his poem, created in Christ Jesus. That's how God made you a new creation. He put you in Christ, and you emerged from the grave with him. In the resurrection, his resurrection, your resurrection, now one with him, you're now created in Christ. That's his great masterpiece. In chapter 5 of Romans, verse 10, for if while we were enemies, when we were lost, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved. And the word is literally in his life. I'm saved in Christ. Because I've been placed into Christ, now I get to live through Christ. Christ lives through me. I'm saved every day from grumpiness, grouchiness, fear, anxiety, worry, self-pity, discouragement, disappointment, anger, resentment, hopelessness, despair. It says in Matthew chapter 1, so if somebody were to ask me, so Chuck, what is the gospel? One word, Jesus. He's the good news. The fact that you've been placed into his life, that's the good news. This is when Mary came and told Joseph she was pregnant. He was going to have her put away. And an angel comes to him in the night, repeatedly saying to him, because I would have to hear that more than once too, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. For she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save us from sin. The word sin just is the word that means to miss the mark. It's an archery term. See, he came to save us from missing the mark. And if you try to do life in any other way than living through him, Jesus, it says he sent his son so that we would live through him. Why did Jesus come? Why did God come to earth? So that we can now live through him. Sin is dehumanizing. What do I mean by sin? I'm talking about sin penalty. I'm talking about sin. Again, I've mentioned several things about sin, like grumpiness and criticalness and, well, it's just who I am. It is what it is. I'm just a grouch. No, really, that's not who he is. I thought he was your life. So don't give me that. That's just who I am. It just is what it is. Jesus is the truth about you. And he's the truth about your story. Sin's dehumanizing. If sin is the reason for and the continual result of the fall, what happened in the fall? They chose to try to be like God without living through him, without depending on him. The enemy convinced them that if you just had enough knowledge, you could know enough of what's right to do right and enough of what's wrong to avoid what's wrong. And he said, God knows you'll be like him. It was a temptation to be like God without God. It was a religious thing, like most Christians, trying to be like God apart from depending on him, trying to be like Christ without living through him. And it didn't work out really well. And so if sin is the reason for and the continued result of the fall, sin, doing it on my own, doing life on my own, even for God. If sin is the reason for and the continued result of the fall, which takes us away from the source of life itself, then sin makes us somehow less than human. Every time you're grouchy, you're less than human according to God's design. He created you to bear his image and likeness, to carry his presence and bear his image and likeness. Every time you complain, you're acting less than human. Every time you lust, it's acts less than human. Every time you give in to the addiction, it's less than human. Every time you give in to anger, it's less than human. Every time you get into gossip, it's less than human. Every time you're critical of another, it's less than human. So here's the gospel. The good news is not so much that we receive Jesus. The gospel is not so much that you can receive Jesus into your life. The gospel is the good news that Christ has received you into his life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that's an existence that's worth living. It's full of purpose and meaning, significance and security. Again, the gospel is not so much the good news that you can receive Jesus into your life. I understand that. I did that all those years ago. But the gospel is the good news that Christ has received you into his life. And when you get saved, all you've done is say yes to that. You may not even know that, but that's what you've done. Received into his life. What? I said this to you before, I just read it to you this time. To be in Christ, to be placed into his life and his story, so that he can live out his life and his story through your life and life story on earth in the daily details. And you can now live your life and your story through his life and his life story in intimate fellowship with the Father and Holy Spirit in heaven. Not one day, but right now. Do I ever get lonely? No. Not a minute. Not a second. When Livia died, Jesus didn't. He lives in me. Do I know what it is to be alone? I do. There's a world of difference. Jesus understands alone. He was tempted to loneliness, but he never gave in to it. And the one who overcame lives in me. And when the temptation to get lonely comes in, I go, Lord Jesus, thank you that you don't do loneliness. And I just sink into him and thank you. And I now join him and his contentment. See, I can do all things through Christ. And his presence is fullness of joy. This is from someone else, and this is me, but I like it. It's really good. The Christian God is interested in relationship with us. Now, again, I know you're interested, and I wish I could tell you. Afterwards, you asked me, who was that quote from? I don't know. Sorry, can't help you. And the Christian God is interested in relationship with us. And not just relationship, but union. And not just union, but such a union that everything he is and has, all glory and fullness, all joy and beauty, and unbridled life is to be shared with us and to become as much ours as it is his. The plan from the very beginning, the Christian vision of reality, is that God would give himself to us and nothing less. So we could be filled with overflowing with divine life. Ephesians 1:10 says, everything is summed up in Jesus. Everything about life. Jesus is the truth about everything. I didn't say he caused everything. I'm just saying he's the truth about everything. He's the truth about me. He's the truth in me. There's nothing about any situation that goes on in my life changes the truth about who he is and who he is in me and how he thinks and how he feels. And I want to live through that. So when they were in Matthew 14, when they were in the boat and in the middle of the night, and there was a great storm on the Sea of Galilee and there, it looked like they're going to sink. All of a sudden, Jesus comes walking along. And they get terrified because they think it's his ghost. That's interesting theology. And Jesus says, stop being afraid. I am. And what was Jesus saying? He didn't say he caused the storm. He just said, you don't have to be afraid in the storm because I am. It doesn't matter if you can't, I can. If you're not, I am. My presence changes the truth about this situation. My presence changes the truth about everything. That's what I mean when I say Jesus said he is the truth. He said he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. This way of life that Jesus lives, he's the one who lives that life. He's the way. And his way is the truth. It's the truth. And truth sets you free. You understand what I'm saying? His way of living through you is the truth about everything. Anything else is a deception and a lie. But he's not only the way, the truth, he's also living inside of me, so he's the very life. He lives his life through me, which is the way and is truth. And he's the truth about everything, not the devil. There's more to the truth than the situation in the storm. That person's not the truth. You'll never find full freedom in that person or in this thing. Jesus is the truth. All things are summed up in Christ. The good news isn't that Jesus did something for us. The good news is that something happened for us and is happening in Jesus. He's the gospel. By clothing himself with fallen and broken humanity, what we need to know concerning ourselves is what happened in his finished work and what is happening to this man, Jesus, who lives in me. Because this man's my story. Christianity is not about what we do for God. It's about being a part of what Jesus is doing and our participation in his life. And again, you might say to me, and we'll pick this up in the morning, you may say to me, you just don't know my story. Well, Jesus is your story. And if it's still your story, no wonder you're in trouble. Because he came, you were placed into his life and his story so he can live out his life and his story through your life and your life story. Because only when Jesus is living out his life through your life and your life story is your life story sanctified. Okay, it's 9:01. I'm way past time. Thank you guys so much for being attentive. I love you all. Paul said this about the Philippians, and I mean this with all my heart. I thought about this today. I thought, here's the thing I've asked the Lord this week. I said, Lord, there have been people, men and women, who've asked you for nations. God, give me this or give me this nation. Lord, I'm asking you for 16 people. That 16 people wouldn't just hear, but would have an encounter with him and a breakthrough with him and a revelation of what it means to live through Christ and get set free on an ongoing journey that gets freer and freer and bigger and better and better. I've asked him for 16. God's doing a lot of stuff. David Imfinger had a word that a lot of people are going to have physical healing this week too, and I believe that. But more importantly, I've asked God for 16 people. So I can't tell. Paul said about the Philippians, he said, I long for you with the affections of Christ. Man, as I've prepared myself this week, I don't always do that, but I've needed to do this with just some fresh language. I've just cloistered myself for the last 2 days, which is not easy to do with my phone. But I've longed for you with the affection of Jesus. And I love you with the affection of Jesus. It doesn't embarrass me to say that to you. There's freedom. You see, and it's not about you thinking I'm wonderful. He wants me to be the source to which he lets you know how wonderful you are to him. that he came to earth, clothed himself. God became a human. Steven Spielberg couldn't think of that one. To save humanity, he became human. For it says about him in John 1, in him is life, and his life is the light of men. There's only one source of life that works. It's Jesus. I believe all 16 of you are going to get free and move into freedom that you can walk in. Not just have an encounter, but you'll come into a place where you start moving from glory to glory. No matter what else you've done or not done, what you can do from this point forward to start living through him is the difference between spiritual, emotional, and mental life and death. Okay? All right, get some good sleep. Father, I pray for everyone here to get a great night's sleep. And thanks for what you're going to do tomorrow and the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Christ over everybody here, physically, spiritually, body, soul, and spirit. Amen. Amen. See you in the morning.